12 years already, five times, it's already 60, isn't it? This week, we are going to look tonight at the person of Miriam, the sister of Moses, the woman whose jealousy brought judgment. Then on Monday, God willing, it will be King Hezekiah, the man who asked for Edigeir, or perhaps a better title. He dared to do the right thing. Then on Tuesday, God willing, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, the woman who sinned yet loved much. Then on Wednesday, Peter, a man who failed but was restored again. And you know, that is upon my heart. So much that we all fail, and we do all fail. But let's not get discouraged. The Lord can raise us up again. And lastly, Elisha, the gracious prophet. So these are the subjects before us. Tonight it will be Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron. And for that, we'll do a few readings. First, we start in Exodus chapter 15. We'll start with the ladies first. So we have Miriam first, and then a man, and then a woman, and so on. As we're all tired a bit tonight, we've all had long journeys. It won't be too long, I trust. But it's not in the length of the word that there is a blessing. I trust that if it is a short word of ministry, nevertheless it will touch all our hearts. Miriam, a very privileged and honored woman. Her name means bitterness. That's similar like the Arabic, mur. And mur is bitterness or rebelliousness. And that already describes immediately what we are all by nature, not only Miriam, but we, me. Bitterness, rebellious. And as Paul reminds us in Romans 7:8-7, that the carnal mind is at enmity against God. Now, we have entitled this talk tonight, The Woman Whose Jealousy Brought Judgment. And I think we will see that as we go into the story of Miriam. We don't hear much ministry on Miriam, so it is good that we stand still for a moment. I hope to deal with this talk in with four divisions. First of all, Miriam as a caring sister in the home. Secondly, Miriam as a gifted prophetess amongst God's people. Thirdly, Miriam, the jealous sister in the wilderness. And lastly, Miriam, the penitent leper outside the camp. These are the four headings. A little bit of an introduction. First of all, then, Miriam. She was the eldest child, Amram and Jochebed, the sister of Aaron and Moses, we all know very well. Now, the Jewish historian Josephus says that she became the wife of Hur. We've heard of Hur, remember, who held up the arms of Moses. But, and so that this would make her then the grandmother of Bezaleel. And we've heard of Bezaleel, he was an artist. He did all the artwork for the tabernacle, but we don't believe that that is exactly factual. We have the biblical narrative, and that suggests that Miriam remained in single blessedness all her days. I say single blessedness all her days. Wherever you read of Miriam, before she makes this mistake, she is a woman that's cheerful. She has a song in her heart, and she leads others in song. So her interests were not matrimonial, but they were the Lord's interest, the Lord Jehovah. Many noble women do not marry from sheer choice. And we know that well from many who have served on the mission field. They have voluntarily foregone marriage in order to serve the Lord. So, but there are two lessons or three lessons that simply jump out of this story. And I read this in a commentary and I found it so touching, and this is what the commentary says. The Bible shows us heroes and heroines that failed. And that failure was usually associated with middle life. After the morning, inspired with hope and courage, abounded, is past, as is the case with Miriam. Do you realize how old Miriam was when she was jealous of her brother Moses? 92. So it shows you how much we need the Lord to keep us right up till the end. We're never too old, unfortunately, to fall into sin. Such failures come where we should not expect them, to overtake the otherwise true and noble characters. Go through the Bible and you'll be astonished how many men and women of God failed. We hold them up as paragons of virtue, you know. We know, Abraham and Samuel and all these great persons, and David, particularly David. When you realize what this man actually did, this man of whom it is said, a man after God's own heart, he became a murderer and an adulterer. Mind you, he suffered for it, although he was forgiven. But this man who had so many privileges. And when I speak of David, I speak of myself. Look back over your own life and see how much God has blessed each and every one of us. And have we really lived up to that in gratitude and a holy life, totally consecrated to the Lord? Have we not failed? And I hope that the messages this week may be for those who feel their failures and their weakness and their shortcomings, and will not be discouraged, but see what God did for men and women in the Bible who failed, and yet they were raised again, and God blessed them again and used them again. So don't listen to the lie of the devil who says, now this is the last time, now that you really, you've done it this time. There's no forgiveness for that. There is, there always is. So then, let's first think of her as the caring sister in the home. It was a wonderful home, I would imagine. But they lived in very difficult days. Do you remember the story, of course, that the Pharaoh had ordained that all newborn baby boys had to be thrown into the river Nile? But there was this godly family, and the mother, no doubt led by God, because God knew Moses and what he should be for him. The mother acted in faith, not only the mother but the father. That couple acted in faith. But here is Miriam, the caring sister, eager to assist her mother in the family. And how wonderful it is to have daughters who are caring and who will stand by mum. I'm not saying that sons can't do that either, but particularly when you look at this Miriam. She was told to watch her little brother. He was there floating in a little basket in the Nile. And how her heart was beating in her chest, what would happen to her little brother. But God was watching. God was caring. It wasn't just the act of Miriam or the daughter of Pharaoh that saved Moses. God arranged all the circumstances. And it's just so wonderful to realize it in your and my life. God takes care of every detail, brother or sister. He knows every detail. Well, she was told to watch the little baby, and there was love between those three children, I would imagine, Miriam and Aaron and Moses. You know, when you compare the family of the Lord Jesus, how different. The brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ had nothing but scorn and criticism. How that must have hurt the Lord's heart that his own family didn't believe in him. Thank God later on they became believers, and we find him in the upper room in Jerusalem with his mother. But here, Moses was loved, and so she took her place, Miriam, in the family as the elder sister. And therefore, she had a bit more responsibility. It always happened by the oldest
child always carries a lot of responsibility, whether it is a boy or whether it's a girl. If you were considered to be more responsible than your brothers or your sisters, I don't know. But there she was, the right hand of her mother. She was an example for her two brothers. And as she stood there at the River Nile, the Egyptian princess coming along, she was of a ready wit. She was intelligent. Miriam was. She understood the situation and she wanted to do the best she could. And so we know that she went up to the princess and asked the princess, can I find you someone who would look after the baby and so on. Miriam was acting under the direction of God, I'm sure. And so Moses was saved from peril and brought up in Pharaoh's own palace. Got the best education possible. You could imagine, of course, that when Moses became the great hero later on, how proud Sister Miriam must have been that she had been the instrument preserving his life in that sense. You know, God doesn't need us. He didn't need Miriam, but he used Miriam. And through Miriam, yes, Moses' life was preserved, or at least he helped towards that. And although God doesn't need us, he wants to use us in the lives of others to help them forward, to make us channels of blessing to others. Are we caring? Are we the caring kind of person, not the selfish kind of person? Then we say something about the gifted prophetess among God's people. You know, Miriam appears for the first time by that name, prophetess, in the Old Testament. She is the first woman prophetess. What a privilege. Sometimes perhaps we don't realize how privileged we are and how responsible we are. Both her work and her words were full of the inspiration of God, I could say. As we go on, we'll see that. She became a leader amongst the women of Israel and a pattern to follow. That's why we read in Exodus 15 by now. Moses sings, and Miriam leads the women in dancing, timbrels, in music, in song. She is a cheerful person, as we said. It's at the Red Sea that we see Miriam standing out so prominently. She sings about the triumph of the Lord and the rider being thrown down. And she proclaims the power and the faithfulness of God. Miriam had many wonderful aspects in her life, many wonderful virtues. She led the women in the dancing. And that's the more impressive when you think that later on, those women run away from her because she'd become a leper. When you compare the beginning of Miriam and how she finished, I need thee every hour. I would say, neighbor, brothers, we need him every moment. And we have to assert that to ourselves. We have to say that to him. Lord Jesus, I need you every moment. Keep me in my thoughts. Keep me in my acts and my words. How much we need him. Do you and I live that kind of life of complete and total dependence upon him every moment? You know, if that was more put into practice, we would be saved from all the gossip and the evil speaking and the divisions among brothers and sisters. Well, as I say, when we arrive at the Red Sea, by this time she would be past middle life. When you reckon that if she was about 11, 12 years of age when she stood there at the border of the River Nile, and then Moses was born, of course, and he spent 40 years in Egypt and then 40 years in the desert, he was 80. So when Moses was 80, then Miriam, you see what, I'm quite right, then Miriam was at least 90 or 92. at the exit from Egypt and the passing at the Red Sea. And there is Miriam assisting her younger brother Moses as a chief singer. She supported him. She stood by him. And how wonderful it is when brothers and sisters can support one another in the work of the Lord. How wonderful it is when children support their parents. Just a little anecdote. I still remember when I used to travel an awful lot. I used to be abroad and I would get letters from one of my four daughters and they would say, "Well, Dad, don't you worry about anything. Everything is going fine at home and we're praying for you that the Lord will give you the language and so on and so forth. Could you imagine what that meant to me in the service for the Lord, that the children were there backing me up and standing behind me?" Well, there was Miriam supporting her brother. And she is not only a prophetess, but she was a poetess also. She mentioned many things in the song that was there uttered at the border of the Red Sea. The song of Moses and Miriam had been referred to as one of the oldest and most splendid natural anthems in the world. The first song mentioned in the Bible, Moses and Miriam. She was a great woman, a very privileged woman. And she was happy. And she was 92 and was still happy. As the first of the sweet singers of Israel, Miriam sang for God. It's wonderful when you can use the talents God gives you for him. Singing, making music. She used a gift for the elevation of the human soul, and to lift the human soul up into a higher life. She was in a dreary wilderness and she could imagine what her brothers and sisters, Israelites, were facing in the desert. And Miriam knew, therefore, that they would march better if they sang. Have you never experienced it also when you start the day singing, things go much better, and if you keep on singing throughout the day, when you do the wash the dishes, or do the cleaning in the house, or you sit in your office, and you have a song in your heart, how much easier things go. Satan must hate it when we sing to the praise of the Lord. Well, her song was one of cheer and full of the memory of all God had done. We should remember more also what God has done for us and give thanks for that. Because so often we sit and we look at the present and things are a bit down, a bit low, and we get depressed. But think of what God has done up till now for each one of us. And then our hearts will be cheered and perhaps we can sing. A little tip for, well, they're not here, they're not young parents here, but for young parents it is, I think it was for years and years, always at the meal, breakfast, dinner, supper, we had cassettes playing songs at the background, not sort of too loud so that we couldn't speak, but at the background. You know how many songs our children learn without realizing it? Creating a happy atmosphere in the home. Singing music to God's glory. Well, unfortunately, we have to come to the third point, the jealousy of Miriam in the wilderness. And here's a little poem. "Save me, O my God, from fretting, sin of all other sins begetting. Grant that I may understand all is neath thy ruling hand. Save me, O my God, from fretting, subtle weaver of sin's netting. Others may be great, I low. Grace give to thy will to bow." You all have to learn that. You all have to learn it. The Bible is faithful. It's a faithful mirror. And it is so faithful that it shows a blot upon almost all its portraits of men and women God has loved and used. Isn't it staggering? I think that should save us from becoming discouraged. God is not going to use us because we're perfect, because we are better than others. God chooses the weak things, the things that are despised. Otherwise, we could glory. And He doesn't want that we should glory. He wants to glory through us. And so God takes up, drags aside, and turns them into masterpieces of His grace. If we think of Jacob like a worm, God picks up this worm and transforms him into a prince. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit with each one of us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit and Miriam. Perhaps Miriam doesn't have the same teaching that we have about the flesh that is in us. And that the flesh is at enmity with God. But we have the scriptures. But it's a sad sight to see the Lord's people looking on one another with the self-conceited eyes of envy. Don't want to always dwell on the situation among us, but what we have seen over the past year is a sad picture of jealousy very often. Of brethren, and perhaps sisters also. But I know somebody who's here who often quotes to me, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." To be content with whatever the Lord gives us. Not looking at others, not being envious of others, but to look to the Lord and thank Him for what He's given. However little that may be. Well, He has Miriam highly favored, a servant of Jehovah. We've read it just now in the Bible. What did we read? "I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam." Micah chapter 6. God sent Miriam to lead in her own sphere. It says that so clear, she leads the women. She doesn't lead the men, as I've seen it recently in a conference. Perhaps I shouldn't have been there. But anyway, I was there. And there was this dear sister standing there next to the preacher that was going to preach, and she put her hand upon his shoulder in the front of thousands of people and started to pray the Lord for the brother. Well, perhaps I'm a bit old-fashioned, but that was unsuitable for a little sister. But a woman like Miriam, who knows her place and stays there and acts there, how much has each one of us, men and women, of opportunities to be useful to the Lord without going over to each other's sphere of service? "I sent Moses and I sent Miriam." You ask yourself, was she jealous of those 70 men that were chosen to be with Moses? Moses was getting down, very discouraged. And he complained to the Lord, and the Lord said, "I'll give you 70 men to help you, prophets." So Moses was actually doing the job of 70 men. Did he realize what a privilege that was? And let me not ask that question. I shouldn't. But if Moses had realized, if he was at the height that he should have been, then he would have said, "Now I can't do it, but the Lord can do it." But the Lord understands how wonderful the Lord is. And He gives him 70 men to help him. But wasn't Miriam a prophetess? And she might have said, "Hey, why wasn't I chosen? Why those 70? Am I not a prophetess?" Was there a little bit of jealousy there? And what about that wife of Moses that he married? Was it a black lady from Ethiopia, from somewhere? Midianites, says. And racial pride made the Ethiopian woman objectionable to Miriam. Have we got sort of prejudices against a person? Are we critical of a person, a brother or a sister, because they may be more special to the Lord than seemingly? But we're all very special to the Lord. The Lord doesn't have any favorites, dear brothers and sisters. So why should we be jealous? He loves you, he loves me as much as he loves everybody else. Is he therefore jealous of Moses, his wife? In that sense, she is a real type of the nation of Israel as a whole. And today, she is set aside because of her hatred to grace being shown to the Gentiles, Israel today. Well, Miriam has to learn the lesson of the plague of her own heart also. She speaks evil of one very dear to God. That's very serious, you know that? When anybody speaks evil of a servant of the Lord, just read it, and the Lord heard it. And I have heard so much evil spoken against servant of the Lord that I just ask myself, what are these men going to do when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ? What will they answer for the blackening of the character of servants of the Lord just because they had a different opinion from themselves? Well, she insists on equal rights. Well, somebody wrote a book years ago, I think it was a missionary, that was called We Have No Rights. You know, the greatest privilege is that we are allowed to give up the rights to ourselves. Are we willing for that? To give up the rights to ourselves. Our legitimate rights. Think of Abraham and Lot. There he stood, Uncle Abraham with Lot. And they looked it all over. And then Moses said, Abraham said, look, Lot, you choose. If you want to go to the right, I go to the left. If you want to go to the left, I go to the right. Now, what should Lot have said? No, uncle, excuse me. You are the oldest. You choose, Lot told. Lot, greedy Lot, chose for himself the best. And Uncle Abram stood there. He gave up his legitimate right. And so you see through the Bible. And we are asked also, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, to give up legitimate rights. How often believers insist on their rights, insist on their right opinions, insist that they have the proper view of things. She insists on equal rights, and Miriam sarcastically rejected both the position and the authority of Moses as the leader of the host and his partner in the wife he took to himself. Now she becomes what? Instead of a channel of blessing, she becomes the leader of discord, division, and discontentedness. When you're out of the movement of the Spirit in your life, when you're not anymore submitted to the will of the Lord or to be guided by the Holy Spirit, this is the result, brothers and sisters. The result is discord, division, discontentedness. It's true. Aaron was guilty just as much as Miriam when they stood there before Moses. But it is Miriam who is the instigator. She speaks on behalf of Aaron also. And the Lord heard it. And Moses stands there silent and says nothing. We read he was the meekest man on earth. Oh, to be meek like that, brothers and sisters. How the flesh in us rises up, and if they insult us, we want to insult back, tooth for tooth and eye for eye. But if we could only let go, if we could only hand it back to the Lord and say, Lord, you've heard it, and leave you answer it. Miriam's error consisted in her effort to break down the God-given authority. Now, that's very serious of Moses, and thereby imperil the unity and the hope of the nation. Did she realize the extent of this rebellious act? Perhaps she didn't, but nevertheless, she was therefore not, she was held responsible. Now, Miriam and Aaron were both prophets, but God said of Moses, my servant Moses is not so. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. God had made Moses what he was. Moses hadn't raised himself up to that position. Miriam could never have said, you've raised yourself up. It was God. And if only Miriam had realized it was God who appointed her brother to that position, perhaps she would have put her hand before her mouth because she spoke. Such was God's elective sovereignty. And Miriam's sin was grievous, that she rebelled against what God had spoken. That's serious. Paul places evil speaking amongst the cardinal sins. Do we often think about it? When you read through this New Testament, evil speaking is one of the cardinal sins for whom God, the Lord Jesus, holds us responsible. And Moses acted as a deaf man who didn't hear, and the dumb man who opened not his mouth, says the scripture, and God vindicated him. How does the story end? Miriam, the repentant leper outside the camp. Jealousy is so terribly soul-binding that it will charge the meekest man on earth with vanity and presumptuousness. Now that is the least thing you could say of Moses, dear brothers and sisters, that he was vain and presumptuous. But Miriam was blind. And the enemy had blinded her eyes, and how often that is true of me and you also. There are moments that the enemy succeeds in blinding our eyes, and we go ahead and do the thing that was wrong. But God will always compensate his tried servant for his silence, and that's what God did. Those who are jealous of others in the Lord's work should be reminded that they have a jealous God to deal with. God is jealous for us, for you and for me. And he keeps each one of us. He will avenge wrongdoers. Let's not avenge ourselves. Let's not start defending ourselves. The day will come when the Lord will bring out the books and when the Lord will remember each word that was spoken in the flesh. Well, the proud and jealous prophetess was condemned to endure the most humiliating of diseases. And that happened when she was 92. When she was at the summit, so to speak, of her usefulness to the Lord. When she was a leader amongst the women. When she was a cheerful person who encouraged her brothers and sisters. Of course, that's when the devil comes in. The devil comes in when there's a servant who's useful to the Lord and who's a blessing to the Lord's people. That's where he comes in. But how the servant should keep himself close to the Lord, realizing that there is an enemy out to destroy your and my life. If he can't do it in our youth, he will watch our lives. And he may do it in our middle age or even at the end. But how sad. How humiliating it must have been for Miriam to see people fleeing now from her presence. The one who before led the women so triumphantly. The result is that there was uncleanness. Miriam became leprous, and the sin of the heart soon manifested itself in outward uncleanness. There was interrupted fellowship. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. The spirit of jealousy dries up the spirit of communion. Remember that. When our spiritual lives are dry, there's something wrong, brothers and sisters. We are told in the New Testament that there shouldn't be a root of bitterness in us. We have to search our hearts daily before the Lord, that there is nothing would draw us away from fellowship with Him. The soul must go outside the enjoyments of all holy things here. Beware how we speak about God's servants. Were you not afraid to speak against my servants, said the Lord? So three things. It produced uncleanness, it interrupted fellowship, and also it hindered the progress of the people of God. You know, sin is never an isolated matter. It touches me, and it touches those around me, and it touches the people of God. The people journey not, it says in verse 15, in Numbers. Afterwards, we see that her strength was broken. Well, you could say, well, after all, she's 92. And the gift of prophecy has left her, it seems. She didn't live long after that dreaded week that she passed through. Did she die of a broken heart? Who knows? Had her sorrow crushed her song? No more songs. And her presumption silenced her prophetic voice. Sin is such a terrible thing. It's a blight. It dries up the sun in our hearts. It stops us from being useful to the work of the Lord. Oh, let's take a lesson from dear Sister Miriam. Such a wonderful woman. Such a gifted woman. Such a privileged woman. But she forgot to stay in the place of humility. She forgot to stay close to the Lord and to judge herself. May the Lord help us. May He help me first also. That we will watch our hearts and our tongues. For His name's sake.